Good morning. We don't want you to stop worshiping. We want you to worship. With everything inside of you, we want you to worship. We want you to raise your hands. We want you to pray with us. Let's pray right now, shall we? Lord Jesus, we enter your presence. We've been so joy-filled to be able to stand here and worship you. Lord, thank you that you have not moved nor abandoned us. We thank you so much, Jesus, that you have died that we might live. You have given us healing under your wings. You have given us hope and promise. And you are faithful, Jesus, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that's why we gather in your name, wherever we may be today, whatever living room or car or park bench. Lord, we worship you. We worship you this morning. Oh, Jesus, for those that are fearful, I pray that your presence in their home right now begins to drive the fear away. I pray, Jesus, that those that are ill and frightened because of that, I pray your healing touch. I pray, Lord, for those who are in a mode of oppression and worry due to their jobs, due to what is tomorrow going to hold, the truth, your word. Your word says that you will take us through it all and that you are able to supply everything we need, Jesus. We commit these next moments to you as we continue to journey on the road that you took, that we might be free. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. Thank you for your presence on live. Thank you that we get to meet together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Again, this is the unusual piece of doing this. We're still learning as we go. As you can tell, we've changed some things on our Facebook Live, and we'll continue to get better, we hope. Doing all of this stuff on a significant budget is a challenge, as you already know. So we're thrilled that you've joined us today, and we ask that you stay with us as we spend the next few moments looking at something that Jesus has laid on my heart for us. So this morning, as we begin, I want to ask you a question. Last week, I asked you to read Psalm 27. Now, I'd ask for a show of hands, but that's not going to help me. So if you read Psalm 27, I would love it if you would message us or something like that and let us know, post it that you did, that you read Psalm 27. Because I believe it is a prophetic word as well as a personal word. And I really believe that if we read these things, that God will make alive his promises to us when we realize he has never changed. But this morning, I'd like you to take your Bible and turn to Mark, the 10th chapter, as we continue on the road with our series of messages that we've been doing. And we're still on the road. Folks, the journey through life has a lot of different roads. It's got places to go, and we can sometimes choose to go there, but right now, fewer and fewer of us can travel where we want to. We're still on the road of life, and we still have some place to go, and we're still following Jesus, if indeed we know him as our Lord and Savior. We're still following him. So where he's leading right now, he's leading through a valley for many of us. And I want to show you what Jesus can do in our lives when we turn again and look at him and not the circumstances of our moment. It's in the circumstances of the moment that we get lost sometimes. We stagger. Our eyes are closed or it's dark and we're not looking for the light. We're not looking for the next step. We're looking for a lot of steps forward. And I want to take us down that road. like Adam and Eve had a choice that led them away from everything familiar and to an unknown destiny. The disciples were following Jesus to an unknown destiny. They had in their mind what was going to happen. They thought they knew where Jesus was going. They didn't talk about it very much, but there was two disciples, John and James, and of course Mama was involved because Mama wanted her kids promoted. So Mama gets involved in this, and they said, "When you come into your kingdom, we want to sit on your right and your left." That's a lot of us with Jesus. We want a promotion to a position. But the position Jesus wants us in is simply following him where he leads. Whatever road he's on, we want to be on that road. Wherever he's leading us, we want to follow him. But even that was a struggle for the disciples at times because they had to leave everything. They walked away from all they knew, but they thought they knew where they were going. What they didn't understand was that this was an uphill journey. And we need to understand there's no coasting in kingdom life. We keep moving, and we move under power with power. We have Jesus with us. If we take advantage of it, we have the Holy Spirit, which empowers us to walk through anything we go through all the way up to the end of our lives. And we can do it well. So let's look at Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, arise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. I want you to pay attention to those last two verses. They're important because Jesus gave him permission and he made a choice. As we look at this, there's something else I find in this story that's really interesting. For those of you who have a Christian background, you will remember the story of where Israel came to and their first battle. Their first battle was in Jericho. And they didn't have to fight the battle by themselves. They were told by the Lord that he would take the walls down and give them access to the promised land. Now, something that historians tell us is that Jericho is one of the oldest occupied cities in the world. The other is Damascus. Those two are probably the oldest continuously occupied cities in the world. So everything started at a place that had been there for a long time. But that wasn't the place that Israel was supposed to stop, and it's not the place that Jesus was supposed to stop. He had to move up the hill just like Israel had to move up the hill. They didn't get to stay camped by the river. They had to move into the land and take it. We have to do the same thing and we have to follow Jesus. So it interests me that Jesus started in Jericho and headed for Jerusalem. And the road from Jericho to Jerusalem is about 16 miles, about a good day's travel. When my wife and I got to go to Israel just a few years ago, the thing that surprised me was the terrain, the geography of the place. Jericho is way down by the Jordan River. It's not very far from the Jordan at all. And everything from there is uphill. Jerusalem is way uphill, and it's 16 miles. And many of you have heard about the Jericho Road. Well, the Jericho Road wasn't like our interstates. It wasn't paved. It wasn't a great road. In fact, it was called the Way of Blood because so many travelers were mugged and harmed on that road that it was known as the Way of Blood, a treacherous road. The only safe way to traverse that road was really with people. And that's why the story of the Good Samaritan is so important to understand, because the Samaritan stopped for probably a Jewish man who had decided to travel alone, kind of like some of us Christians. We decide to travel alone. I can do this by myself. I can get where I need to go all by myself. And that's not true. It's safer when we journey together. And that's kind of what we're doing today. We're journeying together. It's hard for those of us who are individualistic, independent people to think like that. I know it's hard for me. I have a hard time thinking in those terms because I'm individualistic and independent. The Lord has been whittling away at that for many, many years. In fact, a few decades now. I'm still not there yet, but I'm working on it because I want to follow him to where he wants me to be. I want to be with him when he says, this is where I want you to be. And I know you do too. I'm confident of that. But how do we get there? What does it take in the process of that? The other thing about me is that I'm a task-oriented person. I see a task that needs to be done, and I just ignore people in the process of getting it done. That's not right. It's not healthy. It's not good. I'm unlearning and relearning and unlearning and relearning this lesson all the time. That if we're going to do this best, we do it together, and it's safer when we do it together than if we do it alone. The other thing about being task-oriented, though, is focus. If I have a task to do, I will head toward that task, and I will let important things like people be ignored. That's hard to retrain yourself to think that the task is one element of what you're supposed to do, but it's not the end, and it may not be the beginning of what you're supposed to do. And that's what we see in this thing. As Jesus is journeying from Jericho, Jesus is going in his last couple of weeks of life. He knows it. His disciples don't. They have in their mind that they're going to become princes of the king, that they're going to be close to him and favorite and all those kinds of elements that come with following somebody that's important. You know, if you get invited into the realm of a celebrity or something, you feel like, wow, I'm really important now, and I'll be well known like they're well known. Not necessarily true, by the way. In fact, it's not true, by the way. But these guys were thinking that they were going to be at a level that they weren't even thinking any different, that it was going to go a different way. But they were following him. And so they started out. And you'll also notice that there were a multitude of people. You know, when things are going good, there's always a multitude of people there. They want to take advantage of things going good. And so they're following where the goodness lies. And Jesus was healing people. Jesus was feeding people. Jesus was doing all those kinds of things. And so people followed him in great numbers. You know where they didn't follow him very far? To his final destiny, which to them looked like the cross. We'll talk about that in the next couple of weeks. But Jesus had already told them that if you're going to follow me well, you're going to take up your cross and follow me. They had no idea what he was saying to them. Just like we don't have any idea, how do we get through what we're going through? I'm locked in my home. What can I do? Well, one of the things you can do as we face this time where we're following Jesus is pay attention to what he paid attention to. The disciples thought that they were going to help Jesus become a king. They didn't understand that they would go from having all the freedom that they normally had to walk the streets, to do all the things, to go where they wanted, to ride what they wanted, to work where they wanted, to do those kinds of things. They had no idea that within just a couple of weeks, they'd all be hiding, sheltered in houses, scattered all over the place, fearful of what was taking place around them, their very lives being threatened because they were followers of Jesus. Now, that's not what we're facing. We're facing an unseen foe. We're facing something that is ordered by government. We're facing things that we don't want to do, but we must do if we are to go through this. But it's best if we go through it together and still follow Jesus and pay attention to what he's opening around you to do. This is a great time to learn to listen to the people around you. And that's what Jesus did in this. These folks were so caught up in the journey with Jesus, they forgot that Jesus knew where he was heading. Jesus knew what was going to happen. Jesus knew this stuff, and he still went up that hill. He took that 16-mile journey knowing that those people behind him would abandon him, all of them, including his disciples. He knew that when he started this journey up the hill, and yet he started the journey because he knew what his destiny was, and he knew what his destination was. And those are two things that are critical for us this morning. So as we look at the story in Mark chapter 10, and as we said, they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. I want you to pay attention to that. All of this man's life, or as far as we know, all of this man's life, he was blind. The only thing he knew how to do in life was beg. He couldn't work. He didn't have access to anything. He just sat along the same road outside Jericho and begged. I don't believe that God has designed any of us to be beggars. We are, as Christians, blood-washed, blood-bought sons and daughters of the living God. I believe that with all of my heart. But just because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean you're a Christian. Just like it didn't mean that the multitude were Christians, were Christ followers. They were just a multitude of people. They were a crowd following kind of see what would happen. So there's three things that I want you to see in these next few moments as we look at the scriptures as it's written here. First, there was a guy sitting by the side of the road begging, and there's a whole crowd around Jesus again. How in the world and why in the world would he stop? If Jesus were me, he'd be heading towards the destination, just walking on past. Crowds on the sides, nobody. He would just, if it were me, I'd have been headed for Jerusalem. I know a lot of my friends, one of them standing in this room, is exactly the same way. He'd be heading for Jerusalem. But one of the things that the Lord is teaching both of us is there's something more important than just getting to the destination that we want to get to. There's something more important than that. So that's what I want to look at this morning in the next few minutes. First of all, Jesus heard this man's cry. But he heard the man's cry because the man, when he realized it was Jesus, had probably heard all the stories, and he cried out. It is easy to miss the opportunities around us while we're on the road with Jesus. We can get so caught up in our activities, even praying and worshiping and those kinds of things, that we miss the people around us that are crying out. And no matter where we are, we can start to listen with ears of the Holy Spirit that cries above the crowd. But those that are in desperate need will often willingly cry out. And we'll tend, as wonderful people, to meet their physical needs. You see a beggar there. The beggar was begging. What was he begging for? Money and food. Because those are the only two things he could use. He needed money and he needed food. So he had to beg for them. So anybody going by. But he'd heard the stories about Jesus. And as soon as he realized it was Jesus who was going by, he started to yell. I think that's the most amazing part of this story, probably. So in this time that we're facing, for all of us, there are some professing prophets out there saying there will be a soon end to this that we're facing right now. No, there's a journey yet, I think, and it's going to be a little uphill. Because even if you and I think we shouldn't do things, the government thinks we should. And the Bible tells us that we need to obey every law of man. So we need to be wise. Jesus never broke the law. Jesus never defied Caesar. Jesus never defied Herod. He just did what God had put him here to do, what his Father had put him here to do. And so he began to walk this out. So this time that we're in is difficult for all of us. So there's always going to be prophets saying, this will be over soon. And I'll be honest with you, I hope it's right. I hope those prophets are correct. I hope Jesus sweeps it away by next Sunday, because this is hard to do. This is an uphill journey for me. And I hope he wipes it away. Then there are those saying, nope, it's going to get worse and worse and worse, because Matthew talks about that in the last days, all these things are going to happen. And so I want to ask you, are you following Jesus, or you listen to these many voices that are around you? Not the ones in need, but the ones that you're looking to direct your life. Who's directing your life? Because if Jesus is directing your life, when he stops, you stop. And when he says something like, go over there and get that guy, you'll stop, go over there and get that guy. Your task becomes what he has asked. I want you to learn that our task is what he asks, not what we think we should do, but what he's asking us to do. So as we look at this, it's such a marvelous story for that. We have an opportunity to be like Jesus and see the need around us and respond to his purposes, not our presuppositions or even our own plans. We can set those aside for his plan in this time. Isn't that great? You're sitting at home and you think of an idea where you can minister to somebody without having to be in the same room with them, but maybe you could take them groceries and leave them on the doorstep. One of my dear friends, as I shared with you last week, has been in the hospital all this time. He's doing a little better today. His name is Greg. His son's name is also Greg. And the son has stayed for 3 weeks away from his family. He lives in California. Couldn't see his father for the last week at all. So all he could do was text him. His father can't do anything. He's still struggling to breathe. He's getting better, all of those. But his mom got sick too. So now he's got his mom and his dad in the hospital. And he's sitting there in a strange town, no home, nothing else. And yet he decides that when his mom goes home, he's going to bring her favorite food. But he can't go in the house with his mother. He's forbidden to do that. She's quarantined until this completely goes away. And so he goes and gets her favorite food, and then he takes it and leaves it at the door. And then he yells through the door. He knocks on the door and yells through the door and tells mom, hey, there's food out here. She comes to the window to see who's out there. He's standing there with a camera. She's not a big fan of cameras, particularly, you know, when you're sick, you want somebody to put that phone on you, right? When you're not feeling well, you want somebody to pull you out of the crowd and say, ha, 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 this is mom. No, you don't. But he's sitting there, he backs up, so he's got distance, and he takes a picture of it as she comes to the door and gets the food, and she sticks her head out, and I know this lady really well, and she sticks her head out, and she looks around, she smiles, and she's thinking, I want to kill you. I want to kill you. Thank you for the food. And she closes the door and goes back inside. See, there's ways you can do this kind of stuff. You just have to think of it creatively rather than what you want to do and just say, you know what? I love you. I care about you. I just want to take your favorite food right now. If you're really locked away, if we can do that, great. If not, there's all kinds of creative ideas that the Lord wants to use in us. Second thing I want you to see this morning is this. Jesus never forgot that his main purpose was the cross, but his daily purpose was restoration, healing, and hope. We also need to be aware of that as you look at these verses. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then people around him warned him, shut up, be quiet, all those kinds of things. And he yelled even louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. He didn't yell at the man. He said, go over there and talk to him. Don't yell at him from a distance. You go over there and tell him I want to see him. He heard that cry in the midst of the crowd. What cries are you hearing in the midst of the crowd? What are you listening to? What are we listening to? What's directing us? And when Jesus says, stop, go over there, talk to this person, invite them to come to me, that's our role. That's what he's asked us to do on this journey. As we travel the road that we're now on, it's difficult, it's uphill, but we must not lose sight of the opportunities around us, not to have our desires fulfilled, but to meet the needs of those around us. We can do this, beloved. We can do this, friends. We can find a need and meet it. Maybe you see somebody with four or five kids in the store and the last rolls of toilet paper are in your hand. And you see that mom or that dad standing there going, oh no. You know, would it be really cool if you say, Jesus, I've still got a couple rolls at home. And you walked over and you said, here, ma'am, take this. What a blessing you would be. I mean, that's just so out of the box for some of us. No, it's mine. I've got to have mine. I've got to get to where I'm going. This is, and we're in the same panic mode everybody else. No wonder people struggle with our faith because we seem to lack it. And we seem to lack obedience too and humility along with it. What can I do to be a blessing instead of what do I expect from Jesus? See, we're not beggars, we're not crippled, we're not locked into this lifestyle. We have the ability to walk, to go over, invite him to come to Jesus, and then Jesus does what Jesus does. Third thing I want you to see this morning is it's easy to expect less than what Jesus is willing to provide. When I read this story, here's what I know about Bartimaeus. He was begging for food and money. But when he realized who it was that was passing by, and he was brought to Jesus, he did something, well, actually, Jesus did something that has always surprised me. You know, too many times we ask for less than what Jesus is willing to do. And as Bartimaeus was standing there, he cried out, he annoyed everybody around him. Oh, I've seen that in this building. I've seen people run from the back of the church just crying and weeping out loud. And I've watched some of us as Christians step to the side. Oh my goodness, this weirdo is headed for the altar. Why do we do that? Why do we step aside instead of stepping in behind them, following up so that we can be part of the process of them getting to Jesus and getting what they need? Instead of stepping away, let's step in. Let's step near if we can. I'm not telling you to break the law. I'm just saying one-on-one, we can still do this. There's something we can actually do that makes a difference. So instead of cowering in shame, he exposed himself to ridicule and to rebuke. If you want to get to Jesus bad enough, you don't care what people tell you. You'll just do what you have to do. Most of us want conditional reasons to get to Jesus. Well, when I'm sick, I'll go to Jesus. When I'm in a car crash and I need his help. When I need his help, because Jesus expects me to do this all on my own. Bartimaeus already knew he couldn't do anything on his own. So his only hope was getting to Jesus. For those of you that are stuck in a besetting sin, for those of you that continue to practice habits that you so badly want to get rid of, that you feel condemned all the time, I'm telling you, if you can get to Jesus, those will go away. They won't just diminish. They will go away. I have seen him deliver people from things instantly, and I've seen them practice discipline over time and walk out of the deliverance. And I mean, it's all over the map on what I have seen in my time with Jesus. It's amazing what he does. It's amazing what he does. There's two things of note. He had to ask for what he wanted, and Jesus asked him, "What do you want?" Too often we assume what people need or what they want. Let's not do that. When we're getting ready to pray for somebody, or we're wanting to meet a need that they have, ask them what they want. What do you want from me? Give them the freedom to express what they want done. And then it gives you the freedom to pray what they're asking for. And then, if the Holy Spirit gives it to you, take it farther than that. But don't beat them up and don't beat them down. And don't act superior when you do this. Jesus said, "What do you need?" And Bartimaeus, "I want my sight." I love this part of the story because what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi or teacher, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Jesus gave him a choice. He could go anywhere he wanted to from that moment on. He could have run back to his family immediately and said, "Wow, I've been set free. How cool is this? Look at, I can see. I must be really special because Jesus reached out and he answered my prayer and he healed my eyes. He could have run home. Jesus set him free to do that. Jesus never holds us hostage to his kindness, to his grace, to his mercy, to his forgiveness. Jesus never holds us hostage. He sets us free. And we get to choose the road we take from that moment on. And I love this last verse. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. That's such a powerful statement. I want to ask you this morning, would you have gone home, or would you have just fallen in behind him and followed him where he was going, not even knowing where that would lead, not even knowing what was about to happen? Here's what I know for sure. Bartimaeus' life was changed because he asked, and Jesus answered. And instead of going and doing his own will, he exercised his own will to follow Jesus. Who are you following through these times? Are you listening to the news media? Are you listening to the experts that are out there? Folks, those are wonderful people. But I want to tell you, the God we serve, whose name is Jesus the Christ, took this journey for you and me. And he has so much more in store for us if we just learn to ask for what we actually need instead of just what we want. And then, we come to the realization that we owe him everything because my new life and freedom was given to me by him. So now he gets to decide where I'm going to go and what I'm going to be tasked with. That's the challenge that we face on this road. Bartimaeus met Jesus on the road, followed him up the road. He began the day blind. He ended the day free to begin a new life. That's what an encounter with Jesus does. Jesus wasn't focused on getting it over with. Jesus never lost sight that he came to seek and save the lost, restore sight to the blind, deliver people from demonic presence, and die to himself, all while obeying his Father's will. If you're a believer, that is our commission as well. It isn't about the task of existing day to day or being safe. It's about recognizing that we have opportunities to see people set free. Even while we walk this road that we're on right now, to an unknown destination. We just don't know what's going to happen. But we can't draw back. We can't sit down. We can't quit. We can't become part of the problem. But we can be part of the body of Christ, bringing Jesus to life even while we're apart. We can bless other people. I know many of you are already doing that. And I want to say, God bless you for that. I want to thank you for joining us today, and I hope something in this will challenge you. I hope my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will stir inside of you and make you ask the question, if I were Bartimaeus, what would I have done? Shut up and cowered back, or would I have just continued to yell louder because I couldn't see where I was going? I needed somebody to take me to Jesus. Will you be the person that takes somebody to Jesus? You're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. But if we gather together and we begin to pray, the Bible says that Jesus is there with us in that time. And you'd be amazed what happens when we begin to do that. The Lord has put us on this road. The Lord took a difficult road. He took a road that led to his destiny, but he knew what his destiny was. But he also knew his destination was not a grave. It was to empty that grave and give all of us hope. That's the road that Jesus took from Jericho to Jerusalem. It's uphill. It's the same road we're on. Are you going to follow? Or are you going to shut your doors at home and just brag about what Jesus has done in the past, or could have done, or would have done? Today is a new day. Every day is an opportunity to take another step with Jesus on that road. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for these moments. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your word. We are so grateful, Jesus, that we get to do this adventure together. And for some of us, it's a real adventure and a real risk. But thank you that we have the technology to make some of it possible. It may not be polished, but it's an offering to you, Lord. It's an offering to you, Jesus. And we offer ourselves to you in the days ahead. We will follow you where you lead. We'll take the same road that you take. We'll stop when you stop. We'll do what you ask us to do. Help us, Lord, find those that are seeking you in these dark hours, these difficult days. Lord, help us find those that are seeking you. And I pray right now, Jesus, that if somebody is watching this or listens to it later, I pray that you, by your Spirit, begin to speak into their spirit, and that they will confess their sin, and that they will acknowledge that you are their Savior, and they'll invite you into their life and into their heart, or they'll renew that relationship that they've laid on a shelf for a long period of time. Jesus, I'm actually praying that you send your Spirit to those who are listening, and your Holy Spirit begins to stir in them, and that they restore their relationship with you, or they begin a new life with you, just like Bartimaeus began a new life that day as he followed you up that hill. Lord, may we hear of testimonies of your bringing people to yourself. For that's the end goal of this. It is not that we be safe. It is not that we be secure in this world. For Lord, in you we are secure. And so this morning, I pray in Jesus' name that all of us will listen to what you're saying to us from this message, not because the messenger is brilliant, because he's not, but because your Spirit is alive and your word is alive. And when we put word with spirit, life comes forth. And we want life through these days, and we want to be a part of bringing it to those who've been beggars until today. In Jesus' name. Amen.